Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Chof Gimel, three lines from the top, Itmar, Koimetz de Minchas Chotei Sheshamnoi. Before we go on, let's just take note of the fact that in our Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer, you will notice to the immediate, outside margin of our Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. In our marking system, we attempt to provide topic headings to each new sugya or point that comes along. In this case, we've entitled this Kometz, the handful, de minchas chote, of a sinner's meal offering, sheshamno. That oil was added to it. In general, a minchas chote does not have oil added to it. The svara for that is something that we've seen in previous Gemaras, shelo yehei korbono muhudar. After all, since we're talking about a sinner who is bringing this particular meal offering, we don't want it to be glorified. Hence, it will lack the oil, which otherwise adds to the significance of the sacrifice. What happens in the event that the handful that is supposed to be placed on the fire happens to become oiled? So the Gemara, Itmar, Koimetz de Minchas Chote Sheshomnoi. Oil was added after the handful was taken, was removed from the bowl containing the sinner meal offering. Oil was then handed, it was added to the handful of meal offering. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Posel. Rabbi Yochanan says that this renders it unfit. Reish Lakish Omar. Reish Lakish says, Hu Atzmo Meshachshecho Bishiore Halug Uma'aleu. The Reish Lakish's opinion is that, in fact, the handful has oil that is supposed to be added to the kometz of the Minchas Chote. Again, the handful, which is the kometz of the Minchas Chote, in fact has oil that is to be added to it. The Gemara asks, but how can you say that? V'hoksiv lo yosim ole al shemen v'lo yitein ole al levona. It says in the context of the Minchas Chote, one is not supposed to place oil on it. The Gemara answers, Hahu shelo yikba lo shemen kechavroseha. All that Pasuk is saying is that an established fixed amount of oil is not assigned to the meal offering brought by a sinner. So that's true. A fixed amount, the lug shemen, which ordinarily accompanies an isaron of meal offering, does not take place with regard to a minchas chote. However, that does not preclude the addition of oil to the handful of the sinner's meal offering. And hence Reish Lakish says what he does. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan raises a question from the following Tanaic source. And you can see that there is a frame around the next line and a half that represents, in our marking system, a Tanaic source. Chorev shenisarev bebolul yakriv. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yakriv. We saw in the Mishnah that if you have a dry type meal offering that gets mixed up with a liquid or a meal offering that has oil added to it, that's a chorev, that gets mixed up with a bolul, you are to offer both of them. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yakriv. Rabbi Yehuda says no, one is not supposed to offer it up. We want to point out, by the way, according to the Tanakhama that says you do offer it up, that's only because both of these are oilin. Oilin means things that are supposed to be offered up as sacrifices. However, if you had a situation, according to the Tanakhama, of a kometz, of a minchas chote, that oil was added to it, the Tanakhama would agree that it is not to be offered. So the source, as it is, presents the all Tanoim agreeing that the chorev, which is the dry mincha, is in and of itself, if it is exposed to oil, is not to be offered. My lav, the Gemara adds to define this source, koimetz de minchas chote. Is it not so that this source is describing our topic, the handful of the sinner's meal offering, the arev bekoimetz de minchas nedava, that got mixed up with a handful of a voluntary meal offering that has oil added to it? And you see from this source that Rabbi Yehuda is very clearly objecting to its being offered, being that the kometz of the minchas chote is exposed to oil. And we pointed out even the Tanakhama would agree, if not for the fact that it got mixed up with the kometz of a minchas nedava, otherwise the kometz of the minchas chote, had it been exposed to foreign oil, it would not be offered. And therefore, all of this is a kasha on Reish Lakish. Loi. The Gemara responds, not so. The source does not describe the kometz of a minchas chote. When it spoke about the chorev, the dry that got mixed up with the bolo, with the wetter one, that's a minchas poram v'elim b'minchas kvosim. A meal offering that accompanies a sheep offering is more liquidy, or has a greater oil content per isaron. Let's say the oil flour ratio is higher, namely more oil to the flour than is the case with a meal offering that accompanies cows and rams. In the case of cows and rams, the ratio of oil to the flour is lesser than the or we'll say this way, the percentage of oil in a minchas porom v'elim is lower than the percentage of oil in the minchas kvosim. So the source is talking about that kind of mixture. But as far as a minchas chote that has oil added to it, that's not the topic of the source. The Gemara asks, well, how can you say that the source is talking about the minchas porim that gets mixed up with a minchas kivosim? That's spelled out already explicitly. Minchas porim v'elim b'minchas kivosim v'chorev shinisarev b'bolol yikrav. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yikrav. So in this source, you already have the Minchas Purim mix-up with Minchas Kvosim stated separately from the case of the Chorev Shinisar V'Bolol. So how can you say that the Chorev Shinisar V'Bolol is a reference to the Minchas Purim Kvosim mix-up? The Gemara says it is. Pirushe Komeforish Law. The source itself simply has a built-in explanation where the source tells you that the minchas porim that gets mixed up with the minchas kvosim is a case of chorev shinisarev bebolol, that the one absorbs from the other, and even so, according to the Rabbonon, one does offer it up because of the rule of ein oilin mevatlin ze et ze. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says that the Eino Mino, this was something we saw at the end of our previous shiur, the Eino Mino Rova Olav Umevatlo, the flour in the Minchas Purim will outnumber, or it's a void or mevatel, the oil that gets absorbed into it, and therefore it becomes choser. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says lo yikrav. But as far as our topic is concerned, this source, the sources that were cited here that Rabbi Yochanan was attempting to use as a kasha on Reish Lakish, do not deal with a minchas chote. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have under our nosei heading chiburei oilin, the attachment of things that are supposed to be placed on the altar. What that means will be explained by the Gemara itself, but in our topic heading we have noted 2 points. Kometz, a handful of meal offering. Shemitzah Shemonoi Algabi Ho'etzim, you squeezed out the oil from the handful of meal offering, and the oil dripped onto the wood. V'niach HaKoymet Salem, the wood that we're talking about is wood that is going to be used as fuel on the Mizbeach. So the handful was squeezed out, the oil landed on the wood, and then you put this handful that you just squeezed out on that very wood. So you have a sense of attachment between the handful that originally contained the oil with the oil that's now lying on the wood. So they're attached in that sense. There's another example of chibure oilin that the Gemara will touch upon. Hamale b'chutz, one who violates the prohibition of offering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara will talk about hamale b'chutz, Aver, Shein Bo Kizayis, a limb, a very small limb of an animal, of a sacrifice, but it doesn't have a Kizayis quantity of meat. The Etzem Mashlimo Le Kizayis, and some bone joins up, bone that's attached to this meat, joins up to create a full quantity of an olive's worth of meat material, so that meat by itself, you don't have enough to be in violation of Haloas Chutz, of offering up outside the Beis HaMikdash. The minimum amount in order to be considered a violator would be an olive quantity, a kazayas amount. In this case, he had less than the prohibited amount, but together with the bone that was attached to the meat, he has the kazayas prohibited amount. What is the din? Now, the Gemara. Boy, Rava. Koimetz shemitza shmonoi al gabi etzim mahu. A handful of meal offering whose oil was squeezed out onto the wood, and then he placed the handful on the wood. Mahu. What is the din? Now, the Rashi points out, under Dibur Maslo Mahu, mihavi choser koimetz. We have a Roman numeral number 1 in the Rashi because there is a Lashon Acher a little bit later on, but for the time being we will focus on the first reason that Rashi gives. And he asks, or he explains, what is bothering the Gemara. This squeezed down handful of meal offering, is it considered choser? Mi avi choser klemetz oiloi? Mi amrinon chibure oilin? Do we say that there is an attachment here? Ma shehu mechaber hashemen la klemetz, that which he attaches the oil back to the handful, by his placing the handful of meal offering onto the very wood that just absorbed the oil that was squeezed out from the handful onto it. So that's in the question of the Gemara is, do we say chibure oilin ka'oilin damu, oi lav ka'oilin damu? The attachment between items that are supposed to be offered up are considered attached, and therefore the handful would not be considered choser, or do we say it's not considered an attachment, and it's not considered one unit of oilin, oilin being that which is offered up. Omar le Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina, upon hearing this question, turns to Rav Ashi and says, Lav hainu de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. Is this not, in fact, the discussion or point of controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which the Gemara will feature now? The Itmar, Hamale Eiver Shein Bo Kezayis, Ve'etzem Mashlimo LeKezayis. We're talking about Hamale means Bachutz, outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is in and of itself a violation. It is forbidden to offer. And if one does do haloas chutz, so he could be chayev kores. In this case, he offered up a limb, a very small limb that doesn't have an olive quantity, which in and of itself would be a reason for exemption. But he offered this aver that lacked the olive quantity, but it also had bone attached to it that was mashlim it to a kazayas that completed the kazayas quantity. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav, Rabbi Yochanan holds this individual is guilty. The bone serves to complete the shiur, the quantity. Rabbi Yishokish Omar Potter. The Gemara goes over the 2 shitas. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayov, Chiburei Oilin, Ka'oilin Domu. That which is attached to the to an item that is offered up is considered as if it's part of the item itself. Reish Lakish Omar Potter, Chiburei Oilin, Lav Ka'oilin Domu. Reish Lakish says there is exemption because the connection between the bone and the meat is not considered a connection worthy of. Of creating guilt on the part of this ma'ale b'chutz. That basically is the end of a question that Ravina puts to Rav Ashi. So Ravina is asking, is it not so that Rava's question is in fact this discussion? So we, with our markings, have noted this is a long question. And the Gemara, then, we'll have Rav Ashi responding to this suggestion of Ravina. The Gemara turns around, or the Kvar will be Rav Ashi turns around to Ravina and says, "Listen, the attempt to parallel the discussion between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish to Rava's case is not necessarily to be paralleled like you did." Tiboi the Rabbi Yochanan, v'tiboi the Reish Lakish. The Rava question is not determined by Rabbi Yochanan taking one side and Rabbi Reish Lakish taking another side, because the question that Rava raises could be raised by Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish themselves as follows: Tiboi the Rabbi Yochanan, ad kan lo koma Rabbi Yochanan hasam. Rabbi Yochanan, maybe he said what he did. He said it only over there with regard to the bone and the meat. Elo be'etzem. He limited his idea that there was chiburei oilin is ka'oilin domi, that the connect that which is connected to something offered up is considered a connection. That maybe is limited to the case of the bone. De mina de baser hu. The bone is of the same origin as the meat. They're both from the animal itself. Avon hai, the wood, the lav demino de kometsu lo. The wood that just absorbed the oil of the komets, the wood is not part of the komets. It's not from the same origin as the komets of the handful of meal offering. So by your placing the handful on the wood, that doesn't create the same bond, if you will, like the bone to the meat. Oi, Dilma. Or it could be afilu Reish Lakish lo koomar, to the other extreme. Maybe Reish Lakish said that it's not a chibur, the elo be'etzem, only in the case of the bone and the meat. There, the bone is not considered sufficiently attached, if you will, to the meat to create guilt in the case of ma'ala b'chutz. Why? Debar mifresh hu. The iporish lav mitzvah laduri. The bone is something, mifresh means to become separated. It's destined to become separated. It's people don't eat bones with meat. And in fact, if while a korban is placed on the altar in the Beis Hamikdash, and the bone that's part of that limb happens to fall off the mizbeach, there is no mitzvah to put it back on. So that the bone is something that's destined to become separated from the meat. Aval shemen delav bar mifresh hu lo. But oil that's not destined to become separated, it's not designed to be separated from the meal offering, that is not considered detached, and it would be considered chibure oilin. Oy dilma lo shna. Or possibly, there is no difference between the case of the bone and the meat, and the case and the case of the oil of the komets. So, at this point, everything is really open for discussion, and therefore the Gemara ends off. Teku, it remains unresolved. Mishnah: Shnei shtei menochas shelo nikmetzu, v'nisarvu zu bezu. Two meal offerings that got mixed up, that two meal offerings from whom their handful has not been removed, and they got mixed up. Im yocho lukmoitz mizu b'fnei atzmo o mizu b'fnei atzmo, ksheros, if it's possible to remove a handful from each mincha by itself, namely, it's even though the menochas got mixed up, it could be you may have a situation where part of the mincha remained separated or isolated. So if you can take a kumis from the non-mixed part from each one of them, so that which remains is kosher, and the handful, of course, can be offered up. The imlav, if, however, the you can't have a handful of that's from that's exclusively from one mincha, then psulos. These minochas, being that they got mixed up, are unfit. Kometz shenis arev v'mincha shelo nikmetza. A handful of a mincha that was taken, and the handful fell into another meal offering from whom the handful was not removed. Loi yaktir. Well, don't put it on the fire. Vim hiktir. If you put it on the fire of the altar, zu shenik mitzoy l'bailim. The mincha from whom the handful was removed, so the handful has now been placed in the fire, albeit mixed up with another mincha, but the remainder of the first mincha can be enjoyed, and the owner fulfills his requirement. Vizu shelo nikmatza, the mincha that had never had its handful separated from it, lo oilulabailim, the owner does not fulfill his requirement. Nisarev koinso bishioreho, o bishiorei bishreh shel chaverta. A handful of a particular mincha was removed, and then it fell back into the remainder of that very same mincha, or it fell into the remainder of another mincha. Lo yaktir, it should not be placed on the fire. V'im hiktir oilu l'baylim, and if it was burnt, so the owner fulfills his obligation. We've entitled this section of Gemara under the Nosei heading in the outside margin, Taroves Bekesher Limenachos, mix-ups, mixtures or mix-ups with regard to Menachos. We're about to begin a very involved sukya dealing with mixtures. In the general realm of mixtures, we should be familiar with the terms min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino, mixtures of like substances, like items, and mixtures of unlike items. In general, when you have mixtures of unlike items, if you have a sufficient quantity of one, it will be able to void the minority. So if you have, let us say, some permissible substance and forbidden substance, and a small amount of forbidden substance fell into a large amount of permissible substance, if they are of two different natures, so if the permissible substance is of sufficient quantity, it will mevatel the other smaller amount of forbidden substance. If you have a mixture of min b'mino, like substances, that gets involved with a machlokis tanoim. The Shitas Rabbanan holds that even in a case of min b'mino, there could be bittel. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, as we have seen in previous Gemaras, holds min b'mino eino botel. The question that will confront this sukya will be attempts to define what is min b'mino and what is min b'she'eno mino. We will be involved with a number of different controversies, different opinions on the topic. But one thing is for sure, that one should not approach the issue of min b'mino from a superficial standpoint and say that since they're two of the same physical substance, they are therefore classified as min b'mino. One who approaches things like that will have a rude awakening. We see a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The Nosei is a topic heading. Mivneh is a structural note. In our marking system, using the pre-marked Shas Ozer Gemaras that you see on your screen, or even better, holding your own personal copy, we attempt to explain the new geometric forms as they appear in a sugya. In this case, we have a house shape, and that house shape will feature the names Rav Chisto and Rebbe Chanina. We've written a note concerning this on the outside margin. Machloikis Rav Chisto Rebbe Chanina, Eich Koiv Im, how do we establish Im Ta'arovis Shel Shnei Minim Shavim? If you have a mixture of two like substances, Nechshav Min Bemino, is it considered, as it would seem on the surface, a mixture of two like substances? Oy Lamrois HaKol, or even so, even though they seem to be like substances, Have Min B'She'eno Mino, it still could be classified as Min B'She'eno Mino. The question, the underlying issue is, when we talk about like substances, are we speaking on a molecular level, on a physical anatomical level, or as we say before, molecular level, or is the definition of likeness dependent on legal considerations? This will be explained in the sugya. Later in the Gemara, we will encounter a crown form, second line from the bottom, so we will, Mirtz Hashem, explain that when we get to it. Before reading the words of the Gemara itself, let's attempt to offer some explanation by looking at a note that we have on the inside margin. Mosai nechshav l'Rav Chisda min b'mino v'eino botel. The Gemara will ask, according to Rav Chisda, when is something considered a min b'mino mixture, and therefore not botel? In other words, a minority of forbidden substance in a majority of allowed substance, since it will be classified as a min b'mino mixture, the whole mixture will be forbidden. So according to Rav Chisda, when is something classified as min b'mino? So he will answer, he will explain, Im haroiv yochel liyos doime lamiut. If the majority substance can become like the minority substance, even though right now it's not, but if in potential the majority can become like the minority, that's called min b'mino. So Rav Chisda features or emphasizes the mevatel. That's the expression we'll see in the Gemara. The mevatel is the larger amount that would ordinarily cancel the smaller amount. So according to Rav Chisda, the issue will always be, if the larger amount can become like the smaller amount, then it's considered min b'mino. It's called, each item is like the other because of this potential. According to Rabbi Chanina, we've written there, the Rabbi Chanina nechshav min b'mino. According to Rabbi Chanina, a mixture will be considered a mixture of two like substances. Im hamiut yachoyul liyois kemo haroiv. If the minority substance, the botel is the word we will see in the Gemara, if the botel can become like the mevatel, if the minority can become like the majority, that will create a min b'mino situation, and hence, no bittel. The Gemara will try to understand these amoroyim are based on which school of Tanaic thought. After all, we said in our introductory remarks that when you have a min b'mino mixture, not according to all Tanoim, is there no voiding, no bittel, because the Chachomim, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, hold, even in a min b'mino mixture, if you have a majority of allowed substance, there is voiding. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Chista, Nevela Betela B'Shchuta. If you have a minority amount of unkosher meat, Nevela, technically speaking, is meat that comes from an animal that died, that was not slaughtered properly. If it is found in a majority amount of Shchuta, so it is Botel. Why is there Bittel over here? First of all, by saying that there will be bittel, we will be working with the assumption that it's going to be classified as a min b'she'eino mino mixture. And he explains, she'i efshur la'shchuta, because it's impossible in this particular mixture, which we've underlined, for the majority, she'te'oseh nevela. The majority is permissible meat. The Loshon, by the way, of the phrase we underline, where it says Nevela Betela B'Shchuta, usually when you see item A being Botel in item B, it indicates that item B is the majority. So from the language, from the wording here, you see that the majority is the Shchuta, is the permissible meat. Now Rav Chisda says, this is considered a min b'she'eino mino mixture by virtue of the fact that he says there is bittel, there is voiding, the unacceptable, the unkosher substance becomes botel here. And why is that? Why is it classified as min b'she'eino mino? Because the majority substance, the shchuta meat, which is permissible meat, cannot become like the minority, cannot become forbidden, which is represented by the word nevela. However, ushchuta eino betela benevela. Let us say of a minority amount of slaughtered meat, of heter meat, and you have a majority amount of nevela meat, prohibited meat, and now is the time to introduce another important element. Nevela is something that is metame, that communicates tumah. The second example that we just read, the shchuta, is not botel in the nevela. What is the majority? The nevela is the majority. And we said, according to Rav Chisda, you have to analyze, can the majority become like the minority? Can, in this case, that which is forbidden, the nevela, ever become mutter? The answer is yes. She'efsher la nevela, it is possible for the nevela, which is the rove, she'te'oseh shchuta, it can become like shchuta. Shchuta being an example of that which is permissible. And in this case, of course, the shchuta is the miut. How is it that that which is right now forbidden can become permissible? The lechim misrcha porcha tum'asa. That when the nevela becomes rotten, the tum'ah, that nevela ordinarily projects, that tumah becomes nullified. Not only that, but it may be added parenthetically that the nevela also loses its prohibition, its Torah prohibition of eating. The Rashi tells us that what is the nevela that the Torah prohibits? That kind of meat that you would give to a Gentile. However, if it became rotten and a Gentile would not eat it, so it doesn't have the definition of nevela upon it anymore. So it loses its nevela status and hence becomes permissible, becomes like the shchuta. So you have an illustration in the case of shchuta that fell into nevela, the majority, namely the nevela, can become like the minority. That makes it a min b'mino mixture. If you say that, we are then saying that the shchuta meat does not lose its identity. The practical bearing of this is that if someone comes along and touches one of the pieces, or let's say truma touched one of the pieces, it's not clear that the mixture is labeled a nevela mixture. And as a result of that, the truma is not necessarily tame. It's not necessarily defiled. And as a result of that, one would not be allowed to burn the truma, as is the requirement when you're dealing with truma shenitmes. So once again, if you have a situation of shchuta, of shchuta that fell into nevela, this is called min bemino. The shchuta does not lose its identity. Shchuta does not communicate tuma, and since the shchuta does not lose its identity in this mixture, I don't know which piece belongs to what. I don't know which piece is nevela and which piece is shchuta. A piece of truma touches one of the unknown pieces, even though the majority may have been nevela, which would have communicated tuma, but since it's min bemino and the shchuta doesn't lose its identity, the truma is not has not touched with certainty something that would metame it. And therefore, we have a practical application of this idea of shchuta not being botel in the majority of nevela. Rabbi Chanina Omar, Rabbi Chanina takes the opposite approach. He says, "Kol she'efsher loy liyois kamoihu eino botel." Now, Rashi fills in a lot of missing words here. Rashi explains what Rabbi Chanina is saying is that any time that it's possible for the mute, for the botel, to become like the majority, like the mevatel, then there is no bitol, and it's called min bemino. And however, the second point Rabbi Chanina makes, v'chol she'i efsher luyos, v'chol she'if shelo luyos kabohu botel. If the minority cannot become like the majority, then it's called min b'she'eino mino, and as a result of that, there is bitol. Now we have the crown form, and we mentioned earlier that we want to define what its role is. The crown form is featured in the top, in the heading, in the outside margin. Before we note what we've written there, we also want to draw your attention to the fact that we have a little number one in a crown shape to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This indicates we're at a certain stage one. There will be a number two in a crown form on Amud Beis, also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. And you'll see that about four lines from the top. But our note says, in the outside margin, the crown form surrounds the expression Aliba, Aliba Deman, according to whom, Birur Bishlavim. We want to analyze or clarify in stages. Aliba deman omru Rav Chisda Rabbi Chanina es shitasam. According to whom was Rav Chisda and Rabbi Chanina basing their analysis? So we will notice in the Gemara triangles. In addition to the fact that we've noted there are two general stages to the analysis, under each crown form there will be sub-stages, and that we've labeled in our outside margin Tat Shlavei Birur, sub-stages of clarification. So we now turn to the Gemara. Aliba Deman, according to whom did Rav Chisda and Rav Chanina say what they did? E Aliba de Rabbonon, if you think that they said what they did according to the Shitas Rabbonon, Ha Amri, they, however, have been known to say, Oilin hu delo mevatli hadodi. Only a mixture of two sacrificial substances will not cancel one another out. One will not be canceled in the other, and only under those circumstances will they say, no bittel. Avo min bemino botel. But if you're not dealing with oilin, for example, we're dealing here with Rav Chisda and Rav Chanina, Rabbi Chanina, dealing with Nevela and Shchuta. Those are not items that are sacrificed. They're not offered out on the altar. According to the Rabbanan, if you're dealing with Nevela and Shchuta, even though they're both meats, they happen to hold min bemino is botel. even though they're both meat substances, the shita sahamim is min b'mino, and of course min b'shein amino, there is bittul. And yet Rav Chisto and Rav Chanina were describing situations that there would be no bittul, no voiding. So it's safe to assume that Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chanina, who are Amoroyim, were not attempting to say their opinions within the Tanaic Shita of the Chachav, the Rabbonon. Well, let's see further. E Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, if one were to think that they say what they do according to Rabbi Yehuda, that too won't fit. V'ha Rabbi Yehuda Basar Chazusa Oziel. Rabbi Yehuda, in defining mixtures, he goes according to the way things appear. In other words, the physical molecular structure of the item is what plays the main role in determining the nature of the mixture, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, on a molecular level, Nevela and Shluta are the same. Edi v'edi, both of them, they are both meat, min b'mino hu. It constitutes a mixture of min b'mino. And therefore, there will be no bittul, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whether it be Nevela b'shluta or Shluta b'nevela. Elo aliba de Rabbi Chia. It must be that Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chanina were explaining Rabbi Chia. Detani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia has a Tanaic source. It's short. It says Nevela u'shchuta betelos zu v'zu. Rabbi Chia says that there is a possibility of bittul in a mixture of Nevela with Shchuta. Of course, Nevela and Shchuta was the topic that Rav Chanina and Rav Chisto were describing. So now we've made some progress. Rabbi Chia is the basis of the Amoroyim Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chanina. However, Rabbi Chia himself is a late, very late generation Tana. Therefore, the Gemara takes the liberty of asking Rabbi Chia Aliba Deman. And now you see we have the second crown form, being that this is the second general stage of analysis, trying to figure out what is the origin or the basis of the opinions we have seen. So Rabbi Chia said whatever he says according to whom. E Aliba the Rabbanan, and you can see we're using the triangles again to indicate the stages of analysis. Rabbi Chia, did he say what he did according to the Rabbanan? Not likely. Ho Amri, Oilin hu delo mevatli adodi. Only Oilin is there no bittul. Ho min b'mino, botel. Min b'mino is botel. And it would make no difference to the Rabbanan whether Nevela fell into Shchuta or Shchuta fell into Nevela. There would always be bittul. And therefore, if Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chanina are saying whatever they do within Rabbi Chia, they're trying to explain Rabbi Chia, it couldn't possibly be that Rabbi Chia is based on the Rabbanan. V'i aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, kol min b'mino de Rabbi Yehuda lo batil. And if they, Rav Chanina and Rav Chisto, who said what they did, were based on Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia were based on Rabbi Yehuda, well, those Amoroyim wouldn't say what they did, because according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, whenever you have min b'mino, there is no bittul. And yet we saw Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chanina allow for a situation of bittul. The Oilum aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So we say that Rabbi Chia, who is interpreted at this point by Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chia must have based his teaching on Rabbi Yehuda. However, well, that of course we have to explain. Rav Chia's teaching said Nevelo Shutar Arbatela Zubazu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda said Min Bemino is not Botel, so how are we to deal with that? V'chi Ka'omar Rabbi Yehuda Min Bemino Lo Botel. Hanimili Hecha De Efsher Lei Lehemeve Kavosei. When is it defined as a min b'mino mixture? That's when one can become like the other. Aval hecha dolo efsher lei lemevei kavasei, botel. However, where one of the elements cannot become like the other element, then it's called min b'she'eino mino, and therefore there will be bittul. Ubeha komiflegi, and it's on this very point that you have the machlokis Rav Chisda and Rabbi Chanina in defining or establishing which is the one that can or cannot become like the other. The Rav Chisda Sovar, Bosor Mevatel Azlinon. Rav Chisda says, when you approach a mixture, you analyze the majority and ask the question, can the majority become like the minority? If it can, then it's called min bemino, and then Rabbi Huda's din kicks in of min bemino eno botel. Rabbi Chanina says, when analyzing a mixture, you ask, you focus on the minority. Rav Chanina Sovar Boser Botel Azlinon, and like we said before, with just emphasizing the other item, Rav Chanina says if the minority can become like the majority, then you have a min bemino situation, whereby there will be no bittul. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some markings that we want to explain. So in the outside margin, you see under the Mivneh heading, we have a house form featured. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the point facing up, this will serve to give credence to Rabbi Chanina's approach to things. If you see a house form inverted with the point facing down, that will be to the benefit of Rav Chisda's approach to things. We have some additional markings in the sugya. We've highlighted the word money with a diamond. Birur man kotoni hamokur shetsutat. At each stage of the Gemara, at each one of these suggestions, the house forms, the Gemara will raise the question concerning the source that's cited in the analysis. According to whom is the source that is being cited? So if you skim down, you'll notice under the one heading, you'll notice a few lines afterwards, a money in a diamond. And likewise, when you get to number two, you will notice a similar phenomenon of a money word in a diamond. And this will take place again when we get to the third stage. And that will be the role or the purpose of this diamond, as we said, is to figure who is the author of whatever source is being cited along the way. We'll also be using a diagonal dashed underlining to highlight the word bishlama. As we mentioned, the house forms will indicate the different Amoraic opinion which is being supported. So with the point facing up, we said that will benefit Rabbi Chanina, so that when you skim down from the first house marking, you skim down a number of lines and you encounter a dashed underline under the word Bishlama, you can see Bishlama Laman de Omar Boser Botel Azlino. That happens to be that the above worked out well according to Rabbi Chanina. And hence, the section quoted till that point was under the heading of a house form, point facing up. All of that was beneficial for Rabbi Hanino's approach. We'll also use a double underline to highlight the words Botel or Mevatel. Boser Botel, Boser Mevatel. When analyzing a mixture, what do you focus on? You focus on the botel, the minority, and ask, is it possible for the minority to become like the majority? And if the answer to that is yes, then it's a min bemino mixture. According to the other approach, you focus on the mevatel. You focus on the mevatel, the majority, and ask, can it become like the minority? We might as well point ahead of time that The house form, which is designed to illustrate which one of the two opinions, Rav Chisda or Rav Chanina, which of them is more likely, If you skim down the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see these numbers appearing in flipping houses. What will be interesting to note, when you get to number 3, that already is a very unique situation. This is a marking that you will see very, very rarely. This is an attempt to show that the stage 3 will represent a kasha on both opinions, on both Rav Chisto and Rabbi Chinin. Hence, you have the point facing in both directions. When you get to number 4, it'll be again with a normal house shape and point facing up, which, if you just check out your key, you'll see that that will be a section to the benefit of Rabbi Chanina and present a difficulty to Rav Chisto. As you skim along the Gemara, another marking that will be taking place is the use of a squiggle underline, which will highlight the expressions when it's Bishlamo Lamand Amar this and Elo Lamand Amar that. And you'll see that each opinion will be noted with that squiggle underline. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Tanan. We have the following Tanaic quote. Shtei menachos shelo nikmetzu v'nisarvu zu bezu. If you have two meal offerings from which the kometz handful was not removed and they got mixed up. Im yochol likmoitz mizu b'fnei atzmo u'mizu b'fnei atzmo ksheros. If there remains part of each mincha that did not get mixed up, and there would be sufficient amount in the non-mixed up section to remove a handful, then that will be sufficient for allowing these menachos to be processed. V'im lav, if the mixture is total, then you won't be able to remove a handful that contains mincha material, meal material, from just one mincha in a pure form. The Gemara points out the hohocha kevon de komitz le mechado. In this case, when you remove the handful, assuming that, like the Reisha said, im yochol likmos mizubav nasma, at the point that you remove the handful from one of the two menachos, idach, that which remains from that mincha, hava le shirayim, is called leftover, it's called the remainder, the shirayim. And yet, veloi ko mevatli shirayim lativla. Now we have to define which is considered majority and which is considered minority. And this may come as a major surprise, but the shirayim is referred to as the roiv, and the tivla, the tevel, that means the mincha from which the handful was not removed, is called the mi'ut. You'll ask, that seems to be, if anything, it seems to be quite the opposite. The Shita Mekubetzes in Ois Beis explains why this is. And we have underlined the key lines for attempting to explain this. If we glance into the Shita Mekubetzes, which you find in the outside margin, the commentary, in the outside, the outermost commentary, under Os Beis, there is some underlining that you might notice, and we will read that. It says, V'af ha'gav detivlo roiv al hashirayim, even though, quantity-wise, there's more mincha material from the untithed mincha, the mincha from which nothing was removed, relative to the mincha that the handful was removed, mihu, e efshur shelo yarba shtei pregois misoivis shel Shirayim al Predo Achas Shel Soilas de Tivla. If you were to do a micro analysis, as opposed to looking at this mixture right now in a macro form, but if you zero in, so to speak, or zoom in, you will get to a certain point at which you'll have 2 grains of Shirayim, let's say, enclosing, so to speak, 1 grain of the other mincha that had not been tithed. So at that point, on a micro level, you have a you can have a majority of shirayim, majority over canceling the minority of tevel at that very point. And yet we see that the shirayim are not mevatel the tevel. And we see that by virtue of the fact that after you removed the handful from one mincha, the other mincha is viewed as totally intact. Because if you say that the shirayim were mevatel some grains of the untithed mincha, you wouldn't be able to take a handful off of the second mincha. It would be a problem of a mincha that became diminished prior to its handful removal. But by virtue of the fact that we are allowing the second mincha to be nikmats, it shows that the shirayim, the rov, is not being mevatel the miut. So we have a Tanaic source we just read. We explained what is going on. Now the question is, who is behind this? Money. And as we mentioned before, the money is a is put in a diamond so we can highlight the stage of at which this Gemara is going to analyze who is the author of this source. E Rabbonon, if you were to think that this is the Rabbonon, Ha Amri Oilin Hu Dolo Mevadli Hadadi. When can we speak about no voiding? That's when you're talking about two substances that are oilin, that are ultimately to be offered on the Mizbeach. However, in our case, we have shirayim. We have the remainder of one mincha. Now, shirayim are not oilin. It may be very well that the shirayim and the tevel, the untithed mincha, when we say untithed, we mean the handful not removed yet. They are both grain substances. But the rabbonon, anyway, ha min bemino botel, they hold there would be bittel. Therefore, in this case that we describe with the shirayim and the tevel, the shirayim would be mevatel, the tevel, and you would not be able to take a kmitza from the second mincha. Therefore, the source is not according to the Rabbanan. Elopshita Rabbi Yehuda. So we have to say that the source is featuring Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said, when you have a min bemino mixture, so there is no voiding. Is this a min bemino mixture? How are we to look at the shirayim and the tevel? So is it min bemino? Let's continue with the analysis. Bish lemo lemandomar boser botel azlinon. This mando omar happens to be Rabbi Chanina, who says, look at the minority. Can the minority, in this case it's the tevel, can it become like the majority? Can it become shirayim? So, and if you say it can become like the other, that means it's a min bemino. And if it's min bemino, therefore I understand that there is no bittel. And if there's no bittel, I understand why you are still able to take the handful from the other mincha. So things work out well according to Rabbi Chanina, who says, emphasize the minority in your analysis. Botel, the minority, in this case the tevel, have a kemevatel, can become like the shirayim. The lechi komitz meidoch, that when you eventually take the handful off of the other mincha, the mincha that we're calling tevel right now, tevel meaning the untithed one, so that when you remove the handful from the tevel, havu lehu shirayim kihani. Well, then it too becomes shirayim, just like the shirayim of the first mincha. Oh, so you have shirayim, you would then have shirayim and shirayim. That's called min bemino and no bittel. Therefore, we have a situation that we can label as a no bittel situation, and that allows me the opportunity of removing the handful from the second mincha. El olaman diomer bosor mevatel azninon, according to Rav Chisda, who says, emphasize the majority in your analysis. In our case, we said that the shirayim represent the roiv. can the shirayim, which is an allowed substance, become forbidden? Mi kohavu tivla? Can that which has been tithed already, the remainder of the mincha, become like tevel, which is untithed, uncometzed? So according to Rav Chista, Lemo masnisen dolo kerebi chia, should we therefore say that this Tanaic source would pose a problem or be unlike Rebbe Chia? After all, Rav Chista said his analysis within Rebbe Chia. But we see right now that Rav Chista's analysis is not going to work with regard to the Mishnah. Therefore, are we to determine that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Chia? And that would be, of course, a very big problem. The Gemara responds, and you see the inverted house represents something for the benefit of Rav Chista, and here we will try to benefit Rav Chista. Hasam kiderebi zera. The way to understand the Mishnah, which spoke about Shirayim and Tevel and handfuls of meal offerings, Hasam kiderebi zera. There we'll adopt Rebbe Zera's approach to things. The Omer Rebbe Zera, Namro haktora b'koimetz v'namro haktora b'shirayim. The word haktora appears in the context of the handful, and it appears in the context of the remainder. Ma haktora mu b'koimetz eina koimetz mevatel chavero. Just like when you deal with a kometz getting mixed up with another kometz, one does not cancel the other. Af haktora mu b'shirayim ein shirayim mevatlin es hakometz. So too, when you have a mixture of shirayim with another mincha that has not had its kometz removed, the shirayim will not pose a threat to the kometz in the other mincha. So Rav Chista can say that in general we are to analyze mixtures like I do. In this case, we have a gzeres akosov that says that there shall be no bittel. Toshma. Notice we have the house form that just flipped over. So the next section of analysis will lead up to a support to Rav Chista's approach to things. And if you skim ahead, you'll notice using the markings we mentioned earlier that the Bishlamo has the dashed underline, which shows that things work out well according to. And in this case, you'll notice it leads up to Leman Domar Boser Mevatel. Notice where the double underline Mevatel appears. Mevatel is follow the majority and analyze. Follow means analyze the mixture by focusing on the majority and asking, can the majority become like the minority? That approach to things was Rav Chista's approach. Hence, this too leads up to that particular point. Of course, afterwards, the Gemara will reject that. So let's see how to proceed. Toshma. Hakoimetz shinisarev b'mincha shelo nikmatza. You have a handful of meal offering that got mixed up in another meal offering from which its kometz was not removed. So we say, lo yaktir, don't put it on the fire. V'im hiktir, if you do place this mixture on the fire, of the mizbeach, zu shenikmetz also lebailim, the mincha from whom the handful was removed, well, its handful is getting burnt now, so the shirayim are fine, and the owner receives fulfills his obligation, his mincha obligation. The zu shelo nikmatzalo also lebailim, and the other mincha from which no handful was removed, even though it was placed kit and caboodle on the fire, since it was not placed with the handful having been removed, the owner of that mincha will not fulfill his obligation. He'll have to bring another mincha. Well, we see over here from the fact that the kometz that got mixed up in the other mincha, nevertheless, was considered suitable for offering. The lo komevatel le tivlo la kometz. The untithed mincha did not cancel the handful money. Who would be the author of this source? E Rabbonan. If you were to think it's the Rabbonan, can't be. Ha Amri, they have said, Oilin hu delo mevatli hadadi. Only when it comes to things that are both of a sacrificial nature, one would not cancel the other out. Ha, min bimino, batel. However, if you have a standard min bimino, namely a mixture involving something that's a non-oilin, and tevel is a non-oilin, there should have been bittel. Yet in this case, we see that the handful was not batel, by virtue of the fact that the owner of that mincha fulfills his mincha requirement. Ela pshita, so rather, being that it can't be according to the Rabbonan, pshita Rabbi Yehuda. It must be according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Well, Rabbi Yehuda has been known to say that if you have a min bimino mixture, no bittel. And we are trying to determine, is this in fact a min bimino mixture? Well, Bishlamo Lamandomer Boser Mevatel Azlinon. Things will work out well according to Rav Chista, who says, emphasize the majority. Mevatel Have Kebotel. In this case, you have the majority was the untithed mincha. That's the mincha shalonik matzah. Can become like the bota, like the minority, like the komets. What do we mean by that? How can you say that the mincha that has had nothing removed from it can become like a handful? The chol perka chosi lemikmatz minei, because when you look at a bowl of untithed mincha, you can say that, well, any part of that bowl could be the handful. So that any part of the mincha shelo nikmatzo could in fact become the komets. Therefore, using the Rav Chista analysis, can the majority become like the minority? The answer to that is yes. And since the majority can become like the minority, it's min bimino. And since it's min bimino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no bittel, and therefore the komets does not lose its identity. But according to Rabbi Chanina, who says that you are to focus on the minority, in this case the komets, and you ask, can the komets become like the majority being tevel? So, komets mi kohavi tivla, can the komets become tevel? Obviously no. If that be the case, according to Rabbi Chanina, this ought to have been viewed as a min b'she'eno mixture. And since it's a min b'she'eno mino, there should have been bittel. And yet the source says that the komets does not lose its identity. So we would have a source that would serve as a difficulty for Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara says, well, ha'nami k'derebi zera. Here the markings, I think, are of invaluable importance. You see that you have the house form facing up. This represents to the benefit of Rabbi Chanina, which is a bit, you may call it ironic, but previously we cited Rabbi Zera to support the Rav Chista approach. Here we need to cite Rabbi Zera in order to support Rabbi Chanina's approach. But that's okay. Rabbi Zera simply said, as we saw before, and if you have any trouble finding it, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up, you'll find a parallel arrow pointing to where Rabbi Zera appeared earlier, and it's based on the Gezeras HaKosuv of the word Haktorah. Therefore, since you have a Gezeras HaKosuv, a Torah, a scriptural reference indicating no bittel, that overrules the rule that we were using till this point, that each one, in this case Rabbi Chanina, was using to analyze mixtures, so that even though according to his rule of analysis it might be called min b'she'eno mino, and therefore there should be bittel, the Rabbi Zera teaching of Haktorah overrules that and says no bittel, no voiding, and therefore the komets retains its identity. Stage 3. But now we have to be careful, because this piece of Gemara will end up being difficult for both Rabbi Chanina and Rav Chista. Toshma Nisarev Kumtza B'Shirayim Shochaverta. A komet's handful of meal offering got mixed up with the remainder of another mincha. lo yaktir, it's not to be put on the fire, v'im hiktir, also levailim. If it's placed, kit and kaboodle, on the fire, the kometz does not lose its identity, hence the owner fulfills his requirement. Now, v'ho hocha, delo have mevatel kibotil, v'lo botil kemevatel. In this case, either way you look at it, the kometz versus the shirayim. Well, can the kometz, let's say it's the minority, can it become like the majority? Can it become shirayim? No. Can the shirayim, which is the majority, so we saw Rav Chisda emphasize that, can the shirayim become kometz? The answer to that is no. So either way you look at this, kometz cannot become like shirayim. Shirayim cannot become like kometz. So you have on your hands a min b'she'eno mino mixture. And if that be the case, in min b'she'eno mino, there is bittul, there is voiding. And if there is voiding, then the kometz here would have been voided. And yet we see it's not, by virtue of the fact that if it's offered on the fire, the original owner, the owner of the original mincha, fulfills his mincha requirement. Let's read that again. V'ha-ha-ha, we're looking at the second to last narrow line of Gemara. V'ha-ha-ha, d'lo have mevatel kebotil, v'lo botil kemevatel, v'loi komevatli lei shirayim lakometz. And yet the shirayim are not canceling the kometz, which would mean that you have, in effect, a min bimino situation, even though it doesn't, it shouldn't become a min bimino by virtue of the analysis of Rabbi Chanina or Rav Chisda. Here the Gemara is very abbreviated. It's money. Who is the author of this? E Rabbanon. If it were according to the Rabbanon, then there certainly should have been bittul. V'chule, and then we get into the issue of if it were according to Rabbi Yehuda, who calls this a min, who holds min bimino eno botel, but this does not have the does not have the makings of a min bimino mixture. If it doesn't have the makings of a min bimino mixture, as defined by Rav Chisda or Rabbi Chanina, so it would you'd have to call it min b'she'eno mino. And if that be the case, then there should be bittul. So why is it that the kometz is not botel? Amar Rabbi Zera, nemra haktora b'kometz, v'nemra haktora b'shirayim. Here is Rabbi Zera appearing in a making a personal appearance. Up till now, the Rabbi Zera was being quoted. In other words, what we're seeing here was actually the basis of the references made before. Rabbi Zera says, you should know that the word haktorah appears in the context of kometz, and the word haktorah appears in the context of shirayim. That's v'nemra haktorah v'shirayim. Ma haktorah mu b'kometz ein kometz mevatel chavero. Just like when two handfuls get mixed up, they can both be placed on the fire and one does not cancel the other. Af haktorah mu b'shirayim ein shirayim mevatel nasa kometz. So too, shirayim that gets mixed up with the kometz, the shirayim will not cancel the kometz. So you have a xeris hakosav telling us that this mixture, even though on the books it looks like it should be called a min b'she'eno mino mixture, which ordinarily results in voiding and canceling, in this case, cancellation or voiding will not take place because of the scriptural reference of haktorah, which maintains the identity of the kometz. Toshma, we try again. This is the fourth stage, and we see the point of the house facing up, so we can expect that this will be to the benefit of Rabbi Chanina. Toshma, tibla is an expression meaning, it's a verb for spices. The noun of for spices is tavlinim. So tibla, he spiced or added spices to matzah. Matzah, that which we eat on Pesach. Tibla b'ketzach b'shumshimin v'chomine tavlin. he added to the matzah different kinds of spices. The names are here, ketzach and shumshimin, or any other kinds of spices, ksheira, matzahi, it's considered matzah, eloshenikres, matzah mitubeles. So that what you have here is something that constitutes matzah. You can fulfill your matzah requirements by eating this. It simply is called matzah mitubeles, spiced matzah. Ka salka daitoch, de afish lo tavlin tfei mi matzah. We are working with an assumption for right now that this case is describing that there is more spice than matzah. And therefore, as we've written between the lines, the tavlin are the mevatel. We say here that the matzah does not lose its identity. It's, even though it's in the minority, there is no bittul. In order for us to say no bittul, you have to say that we have a min bemino situation. Bishlamo lamand yomer boser botel azlinon. Things will work out well according to Rabbi Chanina, who says that in analyzing mixtures, focus on the minority, in this case the matzah. Can it become like the spice? And if so, it would be then called min bemino. And as a result of that, no bittul. And that is what the source said. The source indicated that the matzah remains matzah, even though it's the minority. So, according to Rabbi Hanina's analysis, we can arrive at a min bemino definition. He says, focus on the minority, the botel, the matzah. Botel have kimevatel. The matzah can become like spice. How's that? The lechim absha, when matzah rots, when it becomes moldy and rotten, have le ketavlin. It would be then basically just like another spice on the shelf. Call it whatever you like, but it'll be viewed as a spice. So since the minority, the matzah, can become like the majority, you therefore have a min bemino situation, and as a result of that, the matzah is not botel. Elo leman diomar boser mevatel azlinon, according to Rav Chisda that says, focus on the majority, in this case the spice. And you'll ask the question, can the majority become like the minority? Well, can the spices become matzah? Tavlin mi kohavu matzah? Absolutely not. And if it cannot, if the majority cannot become like the minority, it remains min b'she'eno mino. And if it's min b'she'eno mino, unlike substances, in such cases there should be cancellation or voiding. So the Gemara responds, Hocha b'mayaskino, notice the house form flipped over. This will then be to the benefit of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda will defend himself and say, Hocha b'mayaskino, delo ofish lo tavlin. There isn't so much spice as we thought in our Salka Daitach before. Derubo matzohi. The rove is matzah. And as such, the matzah is called the mevatel. And using Rav Chisda's analysis, can the mevatel become like the minority, the minority being the spice? The answer to that is yes. The matzah, if it becomes rotten, it's ma'apsha, it becomes like a spice. And as such, we've now created a min bemino situation. And that's why it's not botel. So let's read that again. The ruba matzi velo betela. Daiko nami dikotoni. Through careful reading, you will also conclude that this is talking about a case where the matzah is the majority. Because the source said, and this is essentially a quote from what we saw above. If you have any trouble finding it, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you just skim up a few lines, you'll notice the parallel arrow. It said, Matzohi elishenikres matzah metubelis. By the fact that the source says, this is matzah, that's indicating that it is the majority, and it just so happens to be called spiced matzah, Shma Mino, this will support then, this defense point will support Rav Chisdo's approach. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.